Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis at the Gemara after the Mishnah. The Mishnah began discussing a situation where somebody had a son and a daughter and a tumtum. And the Mishnah says that Bizman Shen Chasim Rubim Doichen Oisoi Eitzel Nekevis Nechasim U'atim the Kavis Daichan Oisai Eitzel Zacharim. And as we said when we began learning the Mishnah in our previous year, the Gemara is going to try to explain what does the Mishnah mean with this opening statement. It seems from the first words of the Mishnah that if there's no Mechasim Merubim Daichan Oisai, the sons say you will not be treated as a son, rather B'shakul kabas, you should be treated like a daughter. Asked Gemara, how can we explain the Mishnah that way? Haktani Seifa, didn't we learn at the end of the Mishnah that if somebody, if a father said, if my wife has a boy, she get this much. If my wife has a girl, she get this much. And we learned at the end of the Mishnah that if he has a tumtum, they get nothing. Haktani Seifa, yol the tumtum, if there's a tumtum that's born, ain't a noitel. He doesn't get anything. Because obviously, the Mishnah is teaching us that a tumtum is not considered neither like a boy nor like a girl. Says Abaye, indeed, that is the way to understand the beginning of the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, the way to understand the beginning of the Mishnah is that we push him away. The boys say, you're not a boy. The girls say, you're not a girl. The Eloi, and he won't get a shin neither like a boy nor like a girl. That's Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Amma, Rav, however, disagrees. He says, Doichen Oisai V'yeshloi. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows, says Rav. The boys say he should be treated like a girl. The girls say he should be treated like a boy. And we always treat him, as the Gemara will soon teach us in the Braisa, to his disadvantage. And therefore, if there's Nechasim Merubim, so when there's Nechasim Merubim, it's you're better off being a son, as we explained at length in our previous Mishnah. So then the boys say, no, you should be treated like a girl, like the Nekevis. On the other hand, when there's Nechasim Mu'atim, and in a situation of Chasim Atim, one is better off being treated like a Nekeva versus a Zachar. So the Nekeva say, no, you will be treated like a Zachar. I, the Sefer, which seems to indicate that this Tumtum is treated neither like a Zachar nor like a Keva, like a Nekeva, the Sefer represents Osman Rav Shimon Gamliel, represents the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who actually holds, as I said earlier, he is the man dominant that holds that a tumtum as a berry b'fnei atzmai is not considered neither like a boy nor like a girl. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, yold of tumtum and trigonus. A Gemara Masechta Temura. The Gemara Masechta Temura teaches us that a bechor, we know, has to be given to a kohen. If somebody wants to avoid his son, being his firstborn son of an animal, to be treated like a bechor, what he does is he makes the following condition. Before the baby is born, he says that if my animal who's going to have its firstborn child will have a boy, that have a male, that male should be a carbon oiler. And obviously we're referring to a situation where this person is already obligated to bring a carbon oiler, and this is how he wants to fulfill his obligation. Or the halacha is the vlad chatos, the child born of an animal that's a carbon chatos, the halacha, we've discussed this previously, mesa, is supposed to be left to die. If somebody wants to avoid that, he could say that if this animal will have a female, that female should be a carbon shlomim. Says the Braisa, that if this animal that we're discussing has a tumtum or androgynous, it's not considered as if it's had a male or a female. Rather, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Kedusha Chal Aleihem. It's not considered like it was a situation where a male was born or a female was born, because a intumtum and a dryness, according to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, is considered a berry b'fnei atzmai. And that is the opinion that the Sefer of our Mishnah is actually following. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Tumtum Yorish Keben, a Tumtum Yashin's like a son, the Nizan Kabas, and he supported the same way a daughter supported. Explains the Gemara. Bishlam L'Rava, according to Rava's understanding of our Mishnah, we can understand the Braisa also. Yorish Keben bin Chos Matim, as we explained according to Rava, the Tumtum is always pushed away to his disadvantage. And therefore, if there's Nuchasim Mu'atim, he's treated like a Ben. V'nizin Kabas, V'nuchasim Rubim. If there's Nuchasim Rubim, on the other hand, he's treated like a girl, always to his disadvantage. El Abaya, but according to Abaya, my Nizin Kabas, according to Abaya, the Tumtum is never is not treated not like a boy nor like a girl, because we're following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that a tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmai. So what does the Braisa say that he's nizin kabas? He's not nizin kabas. He's treated k'berry b'fnei atzmai. Asks Abaye to Rava ulutameich, and according to your opinion, is this Braisa understandable? L'Rava, my Yorish Keben, how do we understand when the Braisa says that he yashins like a son? When is the situation that they treat him like a son? Where is nechasim mu'atim? And the girls say, he should not be treated like us that will be supported from the estate. Rather, he should be treated like a boy. And that the boys and should be treated like a boy. But if we're referring to a situation of nechasim mu'atim, as we've learned in the Mishnah, in a case of nechasim mu'atim, the halacha is that habonos yizaynu, the girls get supported, v'abonim yachzru al psachim, and the sons go collect tzedakah, so they don't get a yerusha. So what is the Mishnah saying? What is the Gemara saying that they will get a yerusha keben? How must we understand the Braisa? The way we need to understand it is that he's a candidate for Yerusha because he's being treated like a son. However, he won't actually realize that Yerusha. The reason he won't realize that Yerusha is because there is nothing to get, because it's Nechas Matim. Says the Gemara, so too can we understand the Braisa according to Abaya. When Braisa says he should get supported, doesn't mean that he actually gets supported. Just like when it's said by Yerusha, it means he's Roy Leirish, but he doesn't get the Yerusha. Here too, he wants to be supported like a daughter, but he doesn't even get supported like a daughter because they push him away, because the sons and daughters push him away because they say he's a berry b'fnei atzmai. So the Mishnah discussed a situation where somebody said, if my wife has a son, he should get a mana. If my wife has a daughter, he should get two mana. So ask the Gemara, lememra, if we look at the case that the Mishnah is discussing, it seems the bas adif alemi ben, the girls are preferable to boys, and that's why he said that if I have a daughter, she should get more than if I have a son. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the case? Va'omar Rav Yochanan Mishmar Mishmar Bar Yochai, didn't they say that kol she'ena meniach ben liyarshai, if somebody doesn't leave over a son to be his yairish, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mala elav evra, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Vavartem es nachlosa lebitoy." And as Mefarshim explained, why does the pasuk use the word "vahavartem"? Shouldn't the pasuk have used the word "v'nasatem es nachlosa lebitoy"? by the Torah using the word vavartim teaches us vein havara ela evra. It means anger. Shneme yoim evra yoim ahu. So here we see that boys are preferable to girls. Somebody who doesn't have a boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at him. And Mefarshim, and we discussed this previously, try to understand why if somebody doesn't have a son, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry at him? The Yad Ramah explains, the way to understand this is, if somebody doesn't try to have sons, but certainly if somebody tries to have sons, but he isn't successful, that person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not angry at. The Kli Yoker explains, the way to understand the Gemara is that Kol She'er Manich Ben L'Yarshay means if somebody doesn't leave over children who he trains and educates and is Mechanech L'Yarshay to follow in the ways of the Avos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. You have children, you have to raise them to act as Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. Another pshat is that yes, this person attempted to have children and he wasn't successful, but everything that happens in this world is obviously min hashamayim, and if min hashamayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that this individual should not have children, it must be because he's not worthy of having children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. This is the raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. Along the same pshat, the Michas Yitzchak explains that if the person doesn't have sons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously saw that this person did an aveira, and this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to have mechila, to have forgiveness on his aveiras, by not granting him a son. Another pshat is also along the same line, is that person had children, had sons, and those sons unfortunately passed away. It's a raya that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him. Another pshat that I saw, Kosher Menech Ben L'Yarshay, means that somebody doesn't bring into his home a Ben L'Yarshay, a son who can, that if he does a Yosem that needs to be raised, and this person doesn't bring that Yosem into his home, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss, based on this Gemara, that there's a special point in a son versus a daughter. The question that was asked to Chazoy Nochem was that someone passed away and he did not have any sons. He left over two daughters. And one of the daughters went and hired someone to say Kaddish for their father, who is no longer alive. And then she wanted her sister to share in the cost of paying someone to say Kaddish. So the Chazon Nochem discusses, is there an obligation on the daughters to say Kaddish that this daughter could say to her sister, you have to share in this obligation? And he wants to perhaps suggest, based on the Gemara that we just learned, that the son, since our Gemara just said that it's specifically the son who takes the father's place, and that's why the Gemara speaks about the son being in the place of the father, so if there is, it's only the obligation of the son to say Kaddish, not the obligation of daughters. Although he quotes a Shail Sechuvas Chavis Yor, who suggests that perhaps there is a Chiv Kaddish even on daughters, and that the only reason Kaddish is not recited by daughters is because of tznius issues. Still, he says that since the Minhag HaOlam is that women do not say Kaddish, it's certainly very appropriate what the sister did, that she hired someone to say Kaddish in memory of a father. However, she cannot demand that her other sister necessarily contribute to this cost. Says the Gemara. But we see from here, back to our Gemara, that boys are preferable to girls. So if boys are preferable to girls, how do we understand the case of the Mishnah where the father said he's going to give the girls more than the boys? Answers the Gemara, Len Yerusha, when it comes to Yerusha, certainly Ben Adiflay, sons are preferable. Len Yerusha, when it comes to support, Bita Adiflay. And the Mepharshim explained, the Rishonim explained, why are sons preferable as far as Yerusha is concerned? Because one's name continues through his sons. And therefore, a father prefers sons as far as Yerusha is concerned. And therefore, the Paiskim suggest, the Paiskim suggest that it's only by karka, by real estate, where one's name is clearly attached to real estate, where sons are preferable regarding Yerusha, but not regarding Metaltlin. However, Linyan Harvacha, when it comes to support, girls are preferable to boys. Two pshatim in the Rishonim, what this means. One pshat is, going back to the same concept that we discussed in the Mishnah, a father doesn't want that his daughter should have to go collect stocker, and therefore the father is more anxious to support daughters than sons. Another pshat is, that father relies on his daughter to take care of him more than he relies on his sons, and therefore he prefers that his daughter be more financially comfortable, that she should be able to take care of him when he needs care. The Paiskim also say that Al Gemara says, Kol Shemaniach Ben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moleh Lav Evro, that somebody doesn't have a son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously angry at him. The Paiskim say, the Chasam Sofer discusses this in the Tshuva, says that even though we learned earlier in the previous parak that one should follow the Hilchos Yerusha, and one should not be involved in transferring the Yerusha from one child to another child. However, if someone passes away without children, and as our Gemara, without sons or without children, as our Gemara clearly is indicating, it's a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at this individual, and therefore this individual obviously needs a kapara, needs forgiveness. Such a person, suggests the Chasam Sofer, even though, as we learned extensively in our previous perek, there are rules as far as who is a Yairish if somebody doesn't leave over children. Here, suggests the Chasam Sofer, certainly such an individual should leave money to tzedakah, because clearly there's an indication from our Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is angry at this individual, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the individual, the way that anger can be dealt with is by giving tzedakah, leaving tzedakah from his estate. The Stechemed, however, quotes Achronim that disagree with the Chasam Sofer and say that if the Torah, as we learned in the previous parak, teaches us the Hilchos Yerusha, and if this person didn't leave children to Yarshin him, but there'll be other relatives who will be his Yarshim, and we should be concerned about the welfare of those relatives. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel gives a different explanation in our Mishnah, how we see from our Mishnah that girls seem to be preferable to boys. He says, our Mishnah is referring to Mavkeres Askinen, a woman who's having, a father who's having his first child. Rav Chisda, Dom Rav Chisda, Bas Tchila Simen Yofel Abodim. If you have a girl first, it's better. Why? Pasha Pshat. Because a girl helps raise the children, helps in the home. So if the oldest child is a daughter, there will be help in the home. Ikadamri Damar Bilacha, she helps raise her brothers. And as the Mepharshim explained, we learned earlier in our Masechta, Hanoisi Isha, Tzorach Livdik Bachel, if somebody marries a woman, he has to check who her brothers are. So this daughter is anxious that she should have quality brothers because it'll help for her Shidduch. And therefore she's very anxious and very helpful in raising those brothers to be good people. Vikadamri Dlashalta Be'in Abisha. Pash Pshan in the Gemara is that if somebody has sons, it could cause an ayin hara. Another pshat that I saw, the Mashal suggests, is that if there's the firstborn child is a son, so the Hilchos Bechayra that we've learned so extensively apply, and therefore that son will get an extra share, which could bring, obviously, machloikis to the family, and this avoids the machloikis. Amar Rav Chisda, Ludidi, for me, Bansin Adif and Lebenoi. My sons are better than, my daughters are better than my sons. Many explanations in this statement of Rav Chisda. Rashbam explains, the Rav Chisda's sons did not survive. And therefore, Rav Chisda preferred, said, I prefer my daughters over my son. Even though, as Tosfos, that we do find throughout Shas that Rav Chisda did have sons, explains the Rishash that those were sons that were born to Rav Chisda later in his life. And this statement that Rav Chisda was making was earlier in his life when his sons were unfortunately not surviving. Tosfos, therefore, because disagrees with the Rashbam Pshat, and Tosfos explains that the Gemara means that when it comes to daughters, I could choose my son-in-laws. And Rav Chisda had son-in-laws who were great Talmid Chachamim, and therefore he says, I prefer my daughters over my son. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada suggests is, why is it so preferable to have a son first? Because when one has a Bechor, he could fulfill the great mitzvah of Pinyan Aben. But Rav Chisda was a Kohen, so he wasn't going to fulfill that mitzvah anyway. So he said, that's why he said, for me, Bansin Adif and Lebenoi. Another pshat that I saw from the Maral is that, yes, typically, as our Gemara seems to be saying, boys are preferable to girls. But Rav Chisda said, my daughters were such special people, they were greater than sons, I was in a unique situation. Vibay Seima, we could explain that how our Mishnah follows the opinion of Yehuda. He says girls are preferable to boys. Ask the Gemara, hey Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda? Ilam Rabbi Yehuda the Bekal. Perhaps it means Rabbi Yehuda of the Machlokes, how to understand this pasuk. The Tanya, the pasuk says, Vashem Berech Savram Bekal. Rav Meir Oimer Shloi Hayolei Bas, he didn't have daughter. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, what was the bracha that he had? Shahayolei Bas, Ubakol Shema. Ask the Gemara, Aim the Shamed Leib Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda say? The coin of Yehuda, Avram had everything. Not only did he have a son, but he even had a daughter. However, that difumi ben mishamatle, is there any indication from this pasuk that his daughter was better than his son? That's what we're trying to prove. So Tosfos asks, if Avram Avinu, certainly a coin of Yehuda, had a daughter, so the Rishonim explain, why contra Mei was it a bracha that he didn't have a daughter? Because if he would have had a daughter, he would have had a problem whom to marry her to. He lived in a time where there weren't good people, and he would have had a problem to whom to marry her. That's why it was a bracha that he didn't have any daughters. Ask Tosfos, why would he have had a problem who to marry her? He should have married her off to Yitzchak. So Tosfos answers that Avram Avinu did not want to marry Yitzchak to his daughter because she was a ketana, and a ketana one's not supposed to marry off his daughter to a ketana. Asked the Mefarshim, but Rivka was a ketana when she married Yitzchak. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is Bakol, Avram Avinu's daughter, her father was Avram Avinu. Rivka's father was Besuel. Avram Avinu was obviously careful to follow what Chazal teaches us, the one shouldn't marry off his daughter when she's a ketana. Rivka's father, Besuel, obviously wasn't concerned to follow that rule. Another teretz is that Tosfos is following his opinion. It's actually quoted in the Das Kenim Bali Tosfos in Chumash, that Rivka wasn't a ketana when she married Yitzchak. She was actually 14 years old. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that Avraham Avinu's daughter was not born to Sarah. She was born to Hagar. And Avraham Avinu did not want Yitzchak to marry Hagar's daughter. It's interesting. He didn't want to take himself as a mechotan. And therefore, she wasn't a worthy kala for his daughter Yitzchak. Especially she had a brother Yishmael. Another pshat that I saw is that after Yitzchak was born, that was the point where Avram Avinu started being Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, fulfilling Kol HaTorah, and including fulfilling the Torah, is that one is not allowed to marry a sister. I saw both from the Chassam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer that they explain that our Gemara seems to have a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, did Avraham Avinu have a daughter or not? Says the Chassam Sofer, everybody agrees that he had a daughter. And everybody agrees, as we just quoted, says the Chassam Sofer, that that daughter was born from Hagar. Rameyah says that the daughter was born from Hagar before Hagar was freed from being a Shivcha, and therefore having a daughter from a Shivcha is not a bracha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the daughter was born from Hagar after she was freed, and therefore it represents a bracha. That's the Chassam Sofer's pshat. The Ksav Sofer has a different pshat. The Ksav Sofer explains that we remember Rashi and Chumash Parshas told us, the beginning of Parshas told us, says, Eil told us Avram, Avram hoiled as Yitzchak. Shilfish Latsone Hador Hayim Oimrim, the Latsone were saying, Shami Avimelech, this Abra Sara, that Sara conceived from Avimelech, Klister, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yitzchak should look like Avram Avinu. Says the Ksav Sofer, in order to refute the Letzone Hador, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was that Sarah should have another child that would have been certainly conceived after she was in Avimelech's palace, and everybody would now realize that Sarah got pregnant from Avraham Avinu. And who was that child? This girl that we're referring to. So the entire purpose of this girl being born was to refute, explains the Ksav Sofer, the Letzone Hador. So according to Rameya, as soon as the girl was born, they were refuted, and she passed away. Her purpose was served. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds she was born for the purpose of refuting the Letzone Hador. But once she was born, she, Baruch Hashem, survived. And that's the girl that our Gemara is referring to. But again, we haven't identified somebody that says a girl is preferable to a boy. Says the Gemara Alahar of Yehuda. It's this opinion of Yehuda. The Tanya, Mitzel Lozen as Abonois, one has to support his daughters, the Kavachayim Lubarim certainly his sons. Why? The Aski B'dar Torah. Sons learn Torah, Divrei Rameya, and according to Rameya, therefore they have preference. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Mitzel Lozen as Abonim, one has to support his sons, the Kavachayim Lubarim, the Loilitzlan, they shouldn't be demeaned that they should have to collect staka. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda prefers girls over boys, and he's the Tan of our Mishnah. The Pais can point out that even according to Rabbi Meir, that sons come before girls, it's only sons that Aski by Raisa that are learning. But let's say one will have sons who are not learning Torah, it could well be that even Rabbi Meir will agree that daughters take preference over sons. Here our Gemara says that supporting one's children is only a mitzvah. So the question comes up that the Pais can discuss, can one use Maisa money to support his children? So certainly children under the age of 6, the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says, one is obligated to support, and certainly one can't use Maisa money to support those children. However, what about children above the age of 6? The Shach, quoting the Maram in Rattenberg, says, yes, our Gemara says it's only a mitzvah. And therefore, one can use Maisa money to support his children. The Taz disagrees and says one can't use Maisa money to support his children. I saw the Paiskim disagree. Whose opinion do we follow? I saw from Rav Adi Yosef, the Chavadas, he says we follow the opinion of the Shach. Rav Moshe, I think, seems to follow the opinion of the Taz. I saw a tshuva from the Shailos HaTshuvos Avnei Tzedek that suggests that there's really no machloikis between the Taz and the Shach, and they both agree that a child under 13 years old, a father should not use Maisa money to support. Children above the age of 13 who could go work, at that point one can use Maisa money to support his children. Furthermore, I saw a tshuva from the Klausenberg Rebbe Shaila Tshuvas Divrei Yatziv, based on this Gemara, that the halacha, as quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Brachos, is that when one has a son, he's supposed to make a bracha toiva meitiv. But in many communities, in Chassidish communities particularly, the minig is not to make the bracha. And he asks why. And some of the reasons he suggests are based on this Gemara. He says, in our Gemara, we see clearly that girls could be preferable to boys. So therefore, there is no special bracha about toiva meitiv to be made when a boy is born. Furthermore, he suggests that it was only in earlier generations when a man can marry more than one wife, and therefore, when a boy is born, that potential will bring a lot of new members to Klal Yisrael, because that boy will probably marry many women. So then the bracha of a toiva meitiv is in order. However, now that we follow the Chaim Derbeinu Gershom, that one man should not marry more than one woman, so a boy doesn't represent bringing more members to Klal Yisrael than a girl does, and therefore we don't make the bracha of a toiva meitiv. Ask the Gemara, Elohad the Tanya, what was taught in a braisa, Yol the Zochav in the Keva. The braisa says that if the wife had a Zochav in the Keva, Hazoicha Noitel Shisha Dinrim, the boy gets 6 Dinrim, from the Keva Noitel Shnei Dinrim, Bamai. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, it doesn't seem sensible to say that the case of the braisa is referring to the exact same case as the Mishnah. Because if it were referring to the exact same case, where a father was saying, if I have a son, this is what should be given to him. If I have a daughter, this is what should be given to her. Why would the braisa, not use the exact same scenario, the exact same circumstances, case, that the Mishnah said? Another explanation in the Gemara, the Rishonim suggests in the Gemara, is why is there such a wide disparity about what's given to a boy versus given to a girl? What is the case of the braisa? Amar Vashi, Amritel Shmatza Kameder of Nad Kahana B'Mesaris. The Brice is referring to when the father makes 2 stipulations, with the second one being the reverse of the first. Doma, he said as follows: if my wife has twins, and he says Zocha Tchilo, if she has a boy first, Masayim, he should be given $200. Nekev Achrav, and if a girl is born after her, Vloiklum, that girl should get nothing. And then he said, if Nekev Tchilo, if my wife has a girl first, money, she should receive a money. Zoch achreya, and if she has a boy after that girl, that boy should get a money. V'yol the zochav in the keva, and then his wife had a boy and a girl. However, v'lo yedinin haimenayin nafak bereshu. We don't know who was born first, the boy or the girl. So zoch shach a money, memanav shach. The boy will get a money no matter what, because whether if he was first or second, he's entitled to the money. Idach money, the other money. We don't know. Have a mom and a mutab sofik. It's in doubt, and therefore chalkim. And therefore the boy will get 150, and the girl will get 50. And as Tosfos points out, even though this rule, a mom and a mutab sofik chalkim, is the opinion of Sumchis, our Gemara one pshat is following Sumchis's opinion. Another pshat, says Tosfos, and we've quoted this pshat previously, is where do we say the concept where do Rabbanan disagree with Sumchis and not follow Maman Hamutal B'Safik Cholkim? That's when there's a Muchsik. And the Rabbanan prefer the concept of Hamotzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. But in a situation such as our Gemara, where there is no Muchsik, the father is still alive, so the father is the Muchsik and the money, even the Rabbanan will agree to the rule of Maman Hamutal B'Safik Cholkim. Ask the Gemara, for how the Tanya, there's another braisa. The braisa says, Yol do zochav in the keva, ein loy el mona. If she has a boy and a girl, she only gets a mona. Again, ask the Gemara, heich mishkachs lo, what is the case of this braisa? Ravina, says Ravina, the braisa is referring to a situation with Masreini. That the person says he's going to give this mona, to give this money to the person who brings him the news that his wife had a child. The Tanya, as we learned in a braisa, if somebody says Ham Vasreni B'man Nifter Rachma Shalishti, if somebody says whoever notifies me what my wife had, Im Zocher, if my wife has abort, this man comes and notifies me, if the messenger comes and notifies me that my wife had a boy, yitl mana, is she getting mana? So the halach is, yalda zacha, if she indeed had that boy, not the mana, he'll get the mana. In the keva, if he says, whoever notifies me, if my wife had a girl, yitl mana, she get a mana. So yalda in the keva, if she comes and tells him that she had in the cave, that his wife had in the keva, yitl mana. Yalda zacha in the keva, if he notifies me that my wife had twins, a boy and a girl, ain't lay ala mana, she gets a mana. Ask the Gemara, for zacha in the keva lay amar. He didn't speak about having twins. So if he didn't speak about having twins, why is there an obligation that if he said, that if the messenger comes and tells him that he had twins, does he have to give that messenger the mana? Answers the Gemara, indeed, it's referring to a situation that he said, im zochem in the keva, that if somebody comes and notifies me, my wife had twins, a boy and a girl, he eat a mana. So here we see clearly that only if he articulated that if my wife has twins, I shall be obligated, is he then obligated. But had he not articulated this, he would not be obligated. Which is a question, asks the Mefarshim. We quoted yesterday, Machloikis Rishonim in our Mishnah. Similar case where somebody says, if my wife has a son, I'll give him mana. If my wife has a daughter, I'll give him money. What would be the din if he had twins? So the Rashbam said that if he had twins, he doesn't have to give anything, because he didn't speak about twins. And if he didn't speak about it, you're not obligated to give it. The Rambam and other Rishonim we quoted said disagreed, and say if he has twins, he's obligated. But our Gemara clearly indicate, asked the Mefarshim, that only if he clearly expressed that if there's going to be twins, I shall be obligated, is he then obligated. But if he didn't say it expressly, he's not going to be obligated. How will those Rishonim understand the Mishnah now? So Mefarshim explained there's a very big nafka mina between the case of our Mishnah and this case. In the case of our Mishnah, the recipient was the child being born. So since the recipient is the actual child being born, say the Mefarshim, according to those Rishonim, we could safely assume that just like the father wanted to give money if there was a son, or if there was a daughter, he wanted to give money if he had to the actual child if there were twins. Here the money's not being given to the child. Here the money's being given to a stranger, to an outsider. And therefore, an outsider is not considered the same. And there the Rambam and all the Rishonim will obviously agree that unless he expressly said that he's going to give money if twins are born, he will not be obligated. The Rishonim also go on to explain that the Chiddush of the Brice is that even though he said that I'm going to give when the messenger, if he notifies me if I had twins, doesn't mean that he has to give a mana for every child. Rather, one mana for both children will be enough. So we just distinguished between giving money to the actual child being born, where there we say the father is more generous, versus giving money to a messenger bringing the news. So I saw that the Paiskim asked, what would be the halacha if the person said, if my wife has a son, I'll give this to tzedakah. If my wife has a daughter, I'll give this much to tzedakah. And he didn't speak about having twins. And he had twins. How do we treat tzedakah? Do we treat tzedakah like giving the money to your child himself? We, according to many Rishonim, even though he didn't speak about twins, the obligation will remain. Or do we treat tzedakah like an outsider, where our Gemara, we just explained, everybody agrees, unless he expressly obligated himself, he would not have to. The Paiskim seem to say that when it comes to tzedakah, we always have to be machmer, and we have to treat tzedakah similarly, we have to treat tzedakah the same way we would treat a child, and if there's a shayla, you have to give the tzedakah. So says the Gemara, if he said, if I have a son, I'm going to give, I'm going to have a daughter, I'm going to give, I'm going to have twins, I'm going to give, elamuti mai, what was he trying to exclude? Says the Gemara, elamuti neifel, that if somebody comes and says, my wife had a miscarriage, then I won't be obligated to give. Why can't we say that what he was trying to exclude was that if he had a tumtum and a drugginess, he wouldn't have to give? So Rishayim suggests that if there was a tumtum and androgynous born, he would not have to give. But the Gemara prefers to say lemutei nefil, because a tumtum and androgynous is a very uncommon occurrence. Furthermore, the Pais can prove from our Gemara that an obligation that one takes upon himself, even though he didn't identify who will be the person who that obligation will be, will be the one that's supposed to get that obligation, the obligation is considered a halachically valid obligation. Because in our Gemara we see that he says, the messenger who brings me the news about my wife having a son or a daughter, I will be obligated to give him the mana. He doesn't know who that messenger will be, yet the Gemara certainly considers the obligation a full-fledged obligation. Says the Gemara, Hudam Ludvisa, somebody said to his wife, Nichsi Lahai Demabrit, my property is given to the child with whom you are pregnant. Amrav Huna, have a Mazakaluba, he's giving something to a fetus, it's not considered a kinyan. The Rishonim explained that this Gemara could be referring both to a bari, to a healthy person making a kinyan, or even to a shchimera. And they explained that even though we've learned so many times, divrei shchimera k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, and there are no kinyanim required by a shchimera, still the halacha is that a shchimera's gift can only be valid in a circumstance that it would be valid by a bari. And according to Rav Huna, this is not a valid gift, mezakel uba, and doesn't make a difference to the shchimera or bari. Eisrei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, we learned in our Mishnah, ha'imer im yalda ishti zocha yitl mana. Yalda zocha noitl mana, even though when he said it, the child was still a fetus. Amalei, so Rav Huna said, Mishnaseinu eni yidei Mishana. Indeed, I don't know who is the Tan of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, V'leimalei, why don't we say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rameihi? Because isn't Rameihi the man the Amr that we always learn says, Ad makna dava shloi ba'al olam? And therefore Rameihi will hold that even though the Uber, the fetus, has not yet been born, we can make a kinyan from him, to him. Says the Gemara, Eim d'sham le'il Rameihi, where do we have that opinion of Rameya? L'davish yeshna ba'olam. Rameya says that we could be makna something that doesn't exist, but we can only be makna something that doesn't exist to somebody who exists. However, in our case, we're referring to davish yeshna ba'olam. The fetus doesn't exist. Mishamitle, will Rameya hold that a kinyan can be made? Ask the Rishayna. Where do we find this concept of Rameya of other makna davish yeshna ba'olam? That if somebody says to a woman, he's not Jewish, by me mekadesh you after I will convert, or vice versa, she's not Jewish, and he says, I'm going to be mekadesh you after you convert, Rameya holds other makna davish shlo b'olam, and it's valid. But we know that a person pre-conversion and after conversion is not the same individual. So how could that be considered a valid? How could that be considered? According to Rameya, it's a dover shayna ba'olam. And now we're saying that even Rameya will agree l'dover to a person that doesn't exist, a kinyan can't be made. Answer the Rishonim, that even though the halacha is that gershin is gayer, kakotin shenoy l'dami, that's only in the spiritual sense. Physically, certainly that person already exists. And since physically that person certainly exists, that will be considered a situation called Rameya of other makna davish shlo b'olam. Ask the Gemara, v'leim le Rabbi Yosihi. Why don't we say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi? Domer, uber koni, that an uber has the ability to be koina. The Tanan, uber poisel, vein machel divi Rabbi Yosi. The halacha is that truma can be eaten by koin and the members of his household, including the avodim. The Mishnah there discusses a koin who dies, leaving behind his wife who's Yisraelis as pregnant. So Rabbi Yossi says that the slaves of that kohen who passed away's estate can't eat truma until the fetus is born. Because since the fetus has inherited a portion of the slave, even if the fetus has brothers, since he hasn't been born yet, so he doesn't attain the status of a kohen, he only attains the status of being a kohen when he's born, and therefore we have a situation that this Eved Kanani is owned by someone who's not a kohen, and therefore he's not entitled to eat truma. So we see that the fetus has the ability to own something even though he isn't born yet, and that's why he can't, this Eved of this Eved Kanani of this estate will not be able to eat truma. And so the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from that situation, because they were referring to Yerusha. We're not referring to Kenyan. Shani Yerusha, Bar Melea, Yerusha comes automatically, that an Uber could be Koina. Here we're talking about Kenyanim, and the Uber can't be Koina. Ask the Gemara, Velema, should we perhaps suggest, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikahi, that the town of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah. Dama, as we've learned the opinion of Yochanan ben Breikah, Loishna Yerusha, Veloishna Matana, but not, if somebody says that he's giving something, whether he uses the word Yerusha, whether the Matana, to somebody who is a potential Yairish, a son, if he has sons, a daughter if he only has daughters, Dvar of Kayamin. So we see that if the Uber is his Yairish, it should be valid. Answers the Gemara, Aim with the Shamad Lay, Le Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah, would Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah say his rule, Le Dovishesh Nabailim? Would that son, amongst his other sons, or that daughter, amongst his daughters, was born already? Le Dovishesh Nabailim, Mi Omar? Ask the Gemara, Velem Le Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah, he? Why don't we combine the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah and Rabbi Yossi? That we'll see, and by combining their opinions, we'll see that you could give Yerusha, you could give a gift to, even to somebody who wasn't born. As the Gemara, Miyam v'Savla, who says Rabbi Yochanan ben Breikah and Rabbi Yossi agree? V'lei Malei, what says the Gemara, maybe the Braisa is speaking about Mvesreini. The Braisa is speaking about, not that he's giving it to the child, but he's giving it to the person who brings the news, and that person is obviously still alive. As the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the way we're going to understand the Braisa, the Tani Sefer, the Sefer of that Braisa said, the Sefer that Mishnah said, V'meim Shem Yairish Elohu, if this child being born is the only Yairish, Yairish Hakol. Says the Gemara, Ibn Masreni, if we're saying that that Mishnah is referring to the person, the messenger, bringing the news, Yairish Ma'avidite, what does it have to do with the Yairish? V'lei Malei, so ask the Gemara, maybe the Mishnah, our Mishnah is referring to the situation, B'shiolda, that he only means that the money should be given to the child after the child is born. As the Mar Yochid to Tani Sefer from Amma Kamasha Taili Ishti Yitoil, if he said that, if he says that whatever my wife gives birth, she'll take whatever I'm stipulating, Hareza Yitoil. As the Gemara, the wording Kosha Tailid, which means what she will give birth to, is inappropriate. Koshi Aldamibaylai. The Mishnah should have said, because we're saying now that the gift is only valid after the baby is born. So the wording of the Mishnah should have been Kol Shiyolda, and that was already born. So where we're up to now is we're trying to understand our Mishnah that says that one can give a gift, that one can declare a gift to a child before he was born. How do we reconcile this with what Rav Huna taught us, that Hamazakalim Uber Loikana?